G'day listeners and welcome to another episode of the Scouting Australia podcast, powered by Australian Property Scout Buyers Agency. I'm your host, Sammy Gordon, and today, guys, we're in for a special episode. We have a man that I have known for quite a long time, well over half of my life. I used to play soccer with a good fella, and it's funny because so often when I have conversations with people, investor stories and everything, a lot of the time I've either become really good friends with them, but very rarely have I actually known them for long before. But this is a man that I played soccer with way back in the day, back when I was 12. So I've known the man literally for 22 years. So I am extremely excited to get him on today, share his story. He's a funny bloke. We were having a laugh before. I don't know if he's used all his content and all his jokes already pre-app, but the producer and I were in some pretty good stitches before we started this episode. So we'll see if he can follow through with some goods or if he's used all the gas in the tank. But guys, I would like to introduce and welcome to the studio, Big Mr. Leon Cusack, mate. Welcome. How are you, buddy?
Mate, I'm very good. Thank you for thanks for having me, mate. I'm fucking excited to be here.
Mate, it's a pleasure. You've been listening to the potties for a while, mate. I know, you've been working with us for ages at Australian Property Scout. But yeah, man, I know you've been listening to the potties for a long time as well. And you're a bit nervous coming in here today as well, mate. It's your first potty, mate. First time in front of the camera. What are you thinking?
Mate, I was definitely a little bit nervous, sweating a few bullets. Because I felt like a bit of a rock star, you know, with the headset on and the full set out. But, mate, as I said, mate, it's really good to be here. Really pumped to be to go to the seminar tomorrow.
Yep.
Just, like, really excited to get some, education, some training and, butt heads with like-minded people.
Yep.
And, as I said, yeah. Excited to be here.
Yeah, mate. Excited to have you here, man. Excited to share your story. And I think it's a good one, man. It's a cool one. There's some funny things in there that I know we're going to be unpacking as well. Some big wins, man. And then some interesting, funny stories that you guys will have to stay tuned in towards the end for to hear some of the gold that we're going to be unpacking there. If you guys like a bit of humor, specific type of humor. Yeah.
Call it humor.
You're going to enjoy this thing today. Yeah, fuck. Sorry, mate. It's at your expense. But, mate, tell us a bit about you. So a bit of background, man, would be great. Give us a bit of a run through, mate. Where you're from? What do you do? What have you done for work? How'd you go growing up? And then, mate, what got you into property and got it all kicked off?
Both my parents grew up in Ireland.
Yep.
So they were born and raised there. And, in the 1980s, they came over to Australia.
Yep.
And at the time, they just got married. So my mum had actually been working with in the hospital.
Okay.
So she was able to get like a visa through that way to get into the country.
Yes, right.
And then my parents had three kids, so I've got an older sister who's happily married now with two kids.
Yep.
Lives in Leichhardt with her husband.
Oh, that's sick. Sydney's inner west, for those that don't know.
Yeah, it's a nice spot actually.
Yeah.
And then I've got a younger brother as well. He's living in Maroubra as well.
Yeah, cool.
Growing up, we didn't come from like a wealthy family or anything like that. Just came from sort of like humble beginnings. But my parents always like really tried to give us whatever we needed.
Yeah.
The sacrifices they did for me, especially like playing soccer, driving me out to Parramatta 3 nights a week. Mm. Peak hour traffic going through the bloody M5.
11 months of the year, right? We used to get it was four times a year because you got three training and then the game was on the weekend.
Yeah.
And then your bloody, the traffic, man, it's a big commitment, from a parental side of things, especially when we're young boys as well.
Oh, 100%. Because they obviously had, two other kids to raise and to look after. And, I'd be in the car like trying to do my homework or, mum would have to come home, cook dinner or something like that. So it was a massive sacrifice on their end and, they could have been, doing other things. So, mate, that was something that, always like very grateful for.
Yep.
And then, mate, just...
So they had a strong work ethic as well? Like they obviously worked very hard?
Yeah. Strong work ethic. Like my dad was in sales and logistics.
Okay.
So he did that for a long time and he's still working at the moment, but my mum's retired now.
Okay.
So she's living her best life.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
Man, I remember it's funny because I remember all the way back. It's interesting when you can remember certain people, man. And I remember my old boy was a mechanic by trade early and then he went to the cops very, very young and then he got out of the cops and he went and bought the farm and he lived down the farm from 1981. And man, one of the things I always remember in the teams who the parents was that my old boy like, because my dad was a very straight shooter. He had a massive bullshit meter. He was a detective in the cops, right, during the 80s when it was, or 70s and 80s when it was crazy. So he had a big bullshit reader, and I remember he always loved your dad, because your dad would come to training and he like a lot of time he wouldn't speak to the other blokes and he'd just have a chat to your old boy and they'd be talking things. And it was funny, man, because at every club there was a couple of people that he liked and he pretty much just didn't have the time for the other sort of thing, just because he's just like, he's a straight shooter. He doesn't talk fluff if the fluff isn't there. He's not a small talk sort of guy. So I remember, man, he always had big respect for your old boy and liked him a lot. So yeah, man, I think that's I'm very much very similar to my old boy from that perspective as well. So if you can give some, you know, paint a picture of the old boy and the sort of style of person he was as well, man, you know, definitely hardworking and a humble sort of fella as well. I think that goes a long way, you know, in terms of what you've been produced out as well, man. So that's cool.
Yeah, definitely, man. Like, they obviously like, you know, taught me to who I am today. Yeah.
Yeah, sweet. So, mate, what happened? Like, were you kind of like, we obviously played together when we were young, when we were kids, like teenagers, right? Young teenagers. And then, man, as you started going a little bit further through school wise, trade, uni, what did you do when you kind of were you going through school, came out of school? And in terms of soccer as well, like, you were playing at a pretty elite level. Like, we were playing for Man United Youth Academy at the time, like affiliate feeder team at Parramatta Melita. Where'd you kind of go after that? Because it's a funny thing, eh? Like, after you, especially when you're playing together, because when you go your separate ways, and I went to Sydney Olympic after that with big struggle loss and we won the title the next year. But yeah, man, like, it's a funny thing, eh? Because you kind of spit, you go your own ways, and because you go on different schools sort of thing. It's not like when you're an adult and you become good mates with someone and you're chatting to them all the time. So it's different when you're in, especially in those teenage years, man. Give us a quick run through of what you did with the soccer side of things, man, because you were like fucking pretty high level striker, man.
Yeah. So with the soccer, man, like, so joined the academy under 12s.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, John Curran came to my door.
Yeah, right.
He had a pamphlet, and it had, you know, all these pictures of, you know, Manchester United and the training academy. And he sort of went through the whole you know, deal that they had with Manchester United, and that was sending people over seas to train and things like that. And, like, really sold it to us. Yeah. So, you know, obviously jumped on board and ended up Melita for, I think it was 3 years, right?
Yeah, okay.
While they had sort of had like Raul there, and you know, they're full on hectic.
Oh yeah, yeah, Raul.
Remember like the special training we had on like the Wednesdays.
Director of coaching and stuff.
So then after that, mate, I went to Olympic. Yep. I think, and I went to Olympic for like half the year, but the coach wasn't giving me a lot of like game time.
Yeah, yeah.
So mate, ended up leaving, and then went to West Sydney Berries for a little bit.
That's where we crossed paths again, eh? Like a couple of years later from after that.
Yeah, we did, mate. That's the time I caught you in the change room and, you know, seen your pecs.
Tell us about that, mate.
Mate, we were getting changed in the change room. After
How old were you been? 18, 19, something?
Yeah, we would have been 18, 19, something like that.
Yeah.
And, mate, you just caught my eye, and I was just sitting there, and I was just looking at your pecs, and I was like, mate, how bloody big are these things? Like, what is this guy doing? Like, what's he eating? What's he training? Mate, so yeah, you gave me a bit of inspiration to, you know, hit the gym for a little bit.
Beautiful, mate.
Which I did.
Glad to have been able to help.
Yeah. but after that, mate,
A few sessions since then, but.
Mate, I have skipped a few sessions.
No, I'm joking.
I've been working on my cardio lately.
Okay, so, okay. You know, how's that going for you?
Mate, it's going good. Yeah. Doing a little bit of surfing as well, mate. Okay. So that's good.
Yeah, beautiful.
but then after that, I went to Fraser Park.
Okay.
And played first grade there.
Yep.
Which was good.
Yeah.
Was getting paid.
So that was dropping to Super League, eh? Fraser was Super League for me.
Yeah. So that was dropping to Super League. Yep. And it got really hard, like, to sort of weigh up, you know, if I'm going to continue playing soccer, if I'm going to focus on my career, like, what if I get injured?
Yep.
You know, all these things that I had to sort of think about. And then on the other side of that was all my mates, they weren't really into soccer or sport as well. So that was kind of difficult because they were, you know, going out, partying, things like that. Mm. And I felt like I was sort of missing out, you know, and that sort of played on my mind. And I got to a point where I just kind of got over it. I stopped loving the game, which I think it happens. But I think what it did teach us, bro, is it made us very disciplined, and it made us know that if you want to achieve something, you need to work really hard at it.
Yep.
And I think that really sort of like instilled that in us, you know, go on a training, be committed, and, you know, just giving your all.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. No, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. And like, if I think back to those days, and obviously, like, so, for those of you who don't know soccer, like all those teams Liam was mentioning before, they're all quite elite level teams in the New South Wales Premier League, right? It's a top flight feeder into the A-League, like youth feeder into the A-League as well. And like a few of the boys that we played with back then went on to be Socceroos and stuff, yeah. that were within those programs, those teams literally around us as well. So, yeah, man, it's kind of interesting to always look back on, but I got a very similar on my end. I end up going down playing, as you know, down the Illawarra, and then same sort of thing, man. Still getting paid, still good little gig there. But then you kind of get to that point where you're like, fuck, what am I doing? Like, you know, it takes up so much of your life, and you've got to make a decision. Either do you pivot into something else, or do you keep living the dream and you know, retire in your early 30s, mid 30s? Like, that's the thing. I look back now, like I look at it now, and I got a lot of mates that are early 30s now, and they're still playing, sort of thing, and they're tossing up retiring, but they're still sort of going. And I think it's one of those things, because once you retire, you're a long time retired. But then at the same time, like, what else are you sort of getting started on in life? And man, it's kind of cool, because like in the last, you know, three, four years together that we've been working together within your own portfolio, man, it's been cool to kind of watch you flourish and even see how you're going from a work side of things. And like, even obviously I know intimately what every client that I work with makes and earns and everything as well, and like the different opportunities they have. And it's cool, man, to kind of see you transition out of what you were doing before, even from that side of things, and still, you know, make a really good go of it with what you're doing in your career and whatnot as well, man. So it's yeah, it's good to see, bro. It's good to see, obviously, the growth that you've gone through yourself personally during that time frame.
Yeah, I feel like I've obviously like grown as a person, and you know, obviously the journey through property investment,
yeah,
obviously working with APS has really, you know, given me that, you know, that confidence,
yeah,
and that network and that team structure. Because what I wanted to do was I wanted to think of myself as like a business.
Yep.
And I wanted to employ people that would be able to get me to where I want to be.
Love that. Yep.
And what I thought was, like, if I get a good buyer's agent, I get a good broker, and I get a good accountant,
yeah,
then for me, that's like the golden triangle. Mm. And like, that's something that you really helped out on.
Yep.
Obviously being the buyer's agent, but you know,
putting me
in touch with the team.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I kind of picked up reading this book, Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone should like give it a read, because it really changed my mindset on investing.
How long ago did you read that?
I read it when I was about like 24, 25.
It's a very pivotal book for a lot of people, man. Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, for those of you who don't know it. But it's a very pivotal book for a lot of people. It sounds like it was the same for you.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it was a massive like eye-opener. And I'm grateful that I did read it, because that was kind of the light bulb moment that I needed to switch my thinking about my future and how I need to think about money. And what I started to do was, instead of getting paid and just like spending it and not really having any consideration of where I'm going to be in sort of 10, 15 years time, thought about, all right, well, the money that I earn from my employer, what am I going to do with it? Am I going to spend it? Am I going to invest in it? So I said, like, yeah, I'm going to invest in it. What avenues am I going to invest in?
Yep.
And, you know, obviously doing my degree at uni.
Yep.
So I studied construction management and property development.
Okay, sick. Were you working at the same time, or you just went and purely did that as a degree?
No, so I was just purely doing that as a degree. Right. Like, I was doing off jobs here and there.
Yep,
I had a dude that lived on my street, and he was like cutting down trees.
Yeah.
And
so you go jump in with him,
mate. Funny, like, nearly died one day. Like,
go on, tell us a story.
This guy is like, he's got the pole saw out, and he's like trying to cut this like branch,
which is
probably like, you know, 100 mil thick or something that. It's like four meters in the air. And I've got my hard hat on, and he was like this Brazilian dude. And he's like, hey, bro, like, come over here, like, hold the thing, you know. So like,
is that your Brazilian accent?
That was my Brazilian accent. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. Have another go. Nah, go on.
So anyway, like I walked over there, and he cut the branch, and the branch hit me in the head. And luckily I was wearing the hard hat.
No way.
Because if I wasn't wearing it, bro, like I would have carked it. But
no way.
It knocked me out.
Yeah.
He woke me up, and he's like, I won't do the accent.
Do it now, please. Do it, please.
Hey, bro, you okay?
That's good. I like it. That was better.
Yeah.
You had more enthusiasm in that one.
So yeah, he woke me up, and had some water, sat down for a little bit, and then went back to work. But
he kept working. Did he give you a bonus for the head hit?
No, he didn't. He just gave me the Saturday off. So
okay.
that was pretty good. But oh, I had soccer on, so it was all right. but yeah, so I was just doing like kind of odd jobs here and there, like doing my studies. But look, my studies kind of gave me that education into property development, construction management. So I was always interested in real estate and construction. And I think that, you know, if you're passionate about something and there's an avenue to make money from it, then it was like that's how I knew I wanted to get into real estate and make passive income through those means.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. All right, beautiful, man. Okay, so before we jump into the story, right, let's say the property story. What? How old were you when you bought your first deal?
I was...
You still in your 20s or were you 30?
I was 29 or 30.
Okay, because it would have been... Yeah, it would have been. It was in 2020.
Yeah, it was just. Yeah. I think it was just before like COVID started.
Okay.
And so what happened? I was with my ex for 7 years.
Yeah.
And you know, when we were together, we kind of touched on you know, getting into property.
Yeah.
And while I was with her, we found this guy that was operating out of Melbourne.
Okay.
And he was doing like these joint venture sort of deals.
Okay.
Which I thought was like a smart idea because he would find someone who, you know, could service a loan but didn't have the cash.
Yep.
And then he'd marry them up with someone who had the cash but couldn't service a loan.
And then he'd do the deal.
And he would broker the deal.
Yep.
But what raised the red flag was you had to sign a power of attorney that he had control of the assets.
Yeah, right.
Right? So that kind of... put that on the back burner. I didn't sort of go through with that.
Yeah.
But anyway, when we broke up, I was 27 at the time.
Yeah.
And I dabbled like a little bit into crypto, but that was like super volatile, and I knew that it wasn't really an investment that I wanted to see through because it's something that I couldn't really control as much. So I moved back home. And with the focus that, look, I'm going to save 60 grand for my first deal, right?
Yep.
So moved back home, sacrificed a few things, lived with mum for a little bit because at that time my parents were divorced.
Yep.
Ended up looking to buy a place in St. Mary's. And the reason I was looking out there was because of the new airport that they were going to build and things like that. And... Mate, I actually put an offer down on this like 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom house. It was like on a corner block, and for like 500K or something like right? Because I just wanted to get in.
Yeah.
And anyway, when the bank did a valuation on it, the valuation came in lower than the offer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well, how does that work?
Yeah.
So he goes, mate, what they've done is what the landlord did.
Oh, right.
He converted the garage into a living space, but he didn't get DA approval.
Yeah, yeah.
So the bank didn't cost that in their valuation. So for me, that kind of put a bit of a sour taste in my mouth that the real estate didn't flag that with me.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons I wanted to like get in touch with the buyer's agent.
Yeah.
Because I just thought if I can separate myself from dealing with real estate agents.
Yep.
You guys have the contacts. You guys have the knowledge.
Yep.
You guys crunch the numbers.
Yep.
I'm just going to, pass it on.
Yeah, 100%.
To you guys. So.
Yeah, sweet. Mm. Sweet. And so at this time, you're 29, 30, something like that.
Yeah.
You have, what are you doing for work at the time? You're in construction management, project management in construction?
Yeah, project management in construction. So at the time, I'd been working with some commercial office builders.
Okay.
Predominantly, that's what I've done since I've left university.
Yep.
So just doing fit outs for customers coming into new spaces.
Yep.
Make good. Lobby refurbs, bathroom upgrades,
yep.
things like that. So
what refurbs?
Lobby.
Oh, lobby refurbs.
Lobby refurbs.
Sorry, I think there's something else. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So, so like just working in the construction industry.
Yep.
So.
Sweet. And then so you're doing that at the time and then obviously you came back into contact. Man, what made you reach out to us? Did you see, was I posting stuff or something? Did you see my stuff like back in the day or something like that? Is that what it was?
Yeah. So I was, just scrolling on Facebook.
Yeah.
As, you do when you kind of lose countless hours doing that.
The old time vortex.
The time vortex.
That's what I call it, right? The time vortex. I fucking hate that thing.
and mate, you popped up on my feed and I was like, oh, fuck, Sam, like what's he been doing, And you're going through your story of how you've built out your portfolio.
Yeah, right.
And it was just at such good timing that, you know, I wanted to sort of get in touch with the buyer's agent. Yep. I knew nothing about what you had achieved or what you were aspiring to do or what you were sort of building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was just like that, you know, that click. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to reach out to him. And because you started with nothing and you were able to sort of build this mega beast of a portfolio, I just knew it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful, man. Beautiful. Mm. Mate, let's talk through it. Let's go, mate. Property number one. Let's start running through some numbers.
Property number one.
These are some beastly numbers, man. Speaking of some beastly numbers, mate, let's start with deal number one.
So number one was purchased in May 2020.
Okay.
It was a 4-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-garage house on a 500 square meter block of land.
Yep.
So purchased for $280.
Yep.
It's currently under market at the moment for $600.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we literally just got a call from the agent just before we started this that $600,000 written offer just came in. Yeah.
Yeah. That was about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So, but that's in 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, and you know how people sort of talk about that, you know, that 10-year property cycle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, if you double your property in 10 years, that's, you know, in the old saying, that's really good.
Yeah.
But to do it in four is that's pretty like crazy, you know?
Yeah, 100%. So, and you think about it, like to double it would have gone to 560, right? But you've gone to 600. So you've got $40,000 change left in the kitty. You take out the BA fee, you take out the agency commissions, you're still probably 105, maybe not quite 110%, but you're over 105% growth. I think if we ran out the net numbers of that from a cash flow capital growth perspective, mate, that's insane. You know, to achieve that in a 4-year window, that's massive. Like as a net return, you know. So, dude, that's massive. That's huge. And that was just to give a bit of context as well, guys. Always tell everyone when they come on, don't talk about locations or whatever. That was out near Ipswich. It was a good solid. Yeah, low set brick, 4x2x2. Cracking little deal. And like are you selling this vacant? Or yeah, you just vacated today, selling it vacant. What were you renting it for before they vacated as well?
So it was renting for, I think it was $340 a week.
When we first bought it.
And it's currently rented at $520 per week.
Okay, sweet. So $520 or the $280, mate, you're not that far. You're just under a 10% yield.
Mm.
On purchase, like a 9.5% yield on purchase.
Yeah.
That's pretty massive. Yeah, for bread and butter.
For a bread and butter.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. not complaining about that, mate.
Not complaining at all, man. Not complaining. Mate, that was in May 2020. Man, talk us through the journey. Where's the mindset from here? You're just wanting to start with the one deal. Like I've said this in a few potties recently as well, investor story potties of guys that started with me 3-4 years ago. I didn't used to push as hard to kind of keep people moving along the journey. So I'm intrigued, man, in terms of the timeline. Like how soon after this did I get back in touch with you? You get back in touch with me to then keep the ball rolling from that side as well. What did that look like?
Mate, it was pretty shortly after we did the purchase.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Obviously knew that I had to wait the 3 months to do the valuation on the home.
Yeah.
But at the time, like I just couldn't get the right val that I needed to pull some equity out.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately I didn't have a lot of other savings to sort of put into another deal because I was really like, you know, motivated to keep building this thing out, this thing up. But look,
that was probably my fault. Because I kept buying cheapies and I kept smashing. Some of the sales were stupidly cheap. Like that was, for people who remember Nick Wilcox's story as well, this was the area where I was toweling up doing a lot of these deals, 280, 290 sort of thousand. It was right at the bottom of the market. But the issue was, even though there's some good sales around, valuers had come in and they choose the lowest common denominator. They don't go for the biggest ones because that's putting their balls on the line. Instead, a lot of the time they'll go for the lowest ones. And this is sometimes like a bit of a catch 22 of obviously entering an area. At least we knew they were worth probably around 320, 330 at the time, but obviously there was still good pickings and it was in, especially during COVID, we went pretty hard buying a lot of this sort of stuff for 280, 290. And then, when the market started to turn towards the end of that year, that's when we started seeing some massive uplifts, you know, jumping from the 320, 330 up and doing 10% jumps every couple of months. So, man, how long did it take until that valed up? So we bought it in May 2020. So dude, you literally bought that just in COVID, like COVID had started, like you bought in the mix.
Yeah, yeah. I think at the time, like I'd just been like let off work or something like that.
Okay.
And I was driving back from Queensland and I think I was on the phone to you.
Yeah.
Because I was like, mate, I got like a 12-hour drive. Let me just give Sammy a call and see what he's up to.
Do we talk some shit first or we just go straight into it?
No, we talked a little bit of shit. And then, you know, we got into
some business.
The business after, you know.
I love it, mate.
But it took a little bit to get the next one.
Yep.
But I knew that because I'd got in at such like a, a good price, yep. and I knew that you were buying in that area,
yeah,
which contributed to the valuations.
Yep.
But the next one that we got was on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
So that was in WA.
Yep.
And I think it was June 21.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay. So when do you remember when the val stacked up, roughly or nah?
It would have been like a couple months before
that. So yeah. It kind of took us around about, it looks like around about 9 months or something like that, yeah. For it to val up, to be able to then pull the equity out and then be able to roll into the next deal.
Yeah, which makes sense in the market.
I mean, for sure.
It takes time for it to...
It was also during COVID. So like if you look at the window between, I remember openly coming out in a podcast and a lot of people were saying the market was going to crash. And I called the fact that I think the market's going to, all the stock's going to clear. And when all the stock clears, people who don't need to sell are going to pull it off. People who need to sell are going to sell, and they're going to sell cheap like we picked up for you. And then there's going to be no stock. And you know, then when things start coming back through, there's going to be people that are still wanting to buy. And then we start seeing some jumping. And that was kind of the call that I made on the market at the time. But what it meant was between like March 2020 and kind of like September, October 2020, there's very little action. There's very little transacting. Everything was transacting was low. And then it started turning a corner. So it's probably very late 2020 or early 2021 that would have stacked up. And man, that just rode perfectly in line with the market. And obviously if we'd had a bit more cash, we could have worked with, we could have picked up two and obviously, you know, try to roll it a bit quicker. But just starting with a singular deposit, that's obviously where sometimes you're a little bit reliant on the market to, you know, to come through for you as well.
Yeah, yeah. But look, I was lucky that, you know, even within that sort of 9 month period,
yep.
I was able to draw enough equity out. And use that to go into the next deal in WA.
Yeah, perfect. So talk us through the numbers around WA, man.
So the one in WA, so I bought that one for 280K again.
Yeah.
That is currently valued, I'd say over 500K.
Yeah.
Sure, maybe like 520.
Yeah, it's definitely low to mid fives, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a 3-bed, 1-bath, 1-garage, yep. 680 square meter block.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's got the potential to build a granny flat on,
yep.
which
yep.
I've already got sort of designs in place at the moment, but haven't pulled.
We parked it, yeah.
Yeah, we parked that yep. one yep. for now.
And what's that rent for? What did it rent for when you bought it?
It was similar to the first one, I think.
Okay.
I think it was renting for about 340,
okay.
330. But I've got it renting out now for $545 a week.
Perfect. $545 a week on a 280 purchase.
Yeah.
Dude, that's pretty much bang on 10%. It's 10.2 would it be 560 and you're at what, 545?
Yeah.
10% yield.
I was pushing for 560.
Yeah, but, you know. So you could get the tenner.
Yeah.
Mate, I love it. The cool thing is like what I love about this, right? And what people need to realize is we literally did this. It was a hybrid mix of a bread and butter and a cash flow deal. You know, we bought it for the bread and butter purposes specifically early, but then the intention was to strip equity to get us into the third deal, but we knew that we would just pull enough equity out to get in the next deal and then leave it so then we could val it up and build a granny on it, you know, after that sort of thing and then utilize it as a cash flow play. But what is really like really, really interesting and I think really powerful in this thing as well is Cusack's picked these deals up, like both of them, you know, 280 purchases renting for 340. Like the yields aren't shooting the lights out. Obviously, the interest rates are lower at the time, but they're like a high fives, maybe 6% yield on purchase. But the rental growth of being in the correct market has taken both of these deals to being, one of them's almost 10% and the other one is 10%. So to sit on those sort of yields and they're bread and butters at the moment, like you haven't even built a granny on that thing. Like where's the yield going to come out when you build the granny? Like 12, 13%, you know? So I think like looking at these numbers and like I love this stuff, man, it excites me because you know, pretty much purchase price almost doubled, rent, you know, gone through so much that we're sitting at 10% yield. Man, it's just crazy, you know, to see numbers like this as well. But I love that ability that we had where we could pull the equity out, get us into another deal. So we're not stagnant, but then we can leave it in there for a lever down the track when we run out of serviceability as well. So I love that. That's mad.
Yeah, it was. So then like, you know, obviously jumping into the third deal.
Yep.
Went through the same process, took the equity out of the second deal in WA.
Yep.
And then bought again in WA at that time.
What time frames? Do you have rough time frames for us here? The people love to know the speed, man. Are you a quick sort of guy or are you a slow burn?
It depends on the mood, you know. yeah, I think that was about 6-7 months in between. So that one was a bit quicker.
Yep.
Was able to draw the equity out of that one and
you pulled the equity out of number two?
Yes.
To buy number three?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Please continue.
I will. So number three, that was purchased for $300K.
Yep.
It was three bed,
yep,
one bath, one garage.
Yep.
Bigger block though, 720 square meters.
Yeah.
So that one I actually did pull the trigger. And
that was like a kilometer from the beach, wasn't it? That was close, man.
Oh, very close to the beach. Yeah. Like great location.
Yeah.
You know, couldn't beat it.
Mm.
But that one, built the granny flat on it.
Yep. So you needed the serviceability on that, like off the back of that one. So that's why I went through and executed the granny at that point as well.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. So yep, I needed that serviceability to keep going, because I was kind of getting to the point where I was kind of maxing out with the banks on my servicing.
Yeah.
And I had to kind of look at, like, you know, what strategies am I going to sort of put in, mm-hmm, to sort of keep progressing ahead.
Yeah.
So bought it for 300.
Yep.
Built the granny for 180. So yep, total of 480K.
Yep.
Now it's renting at 980 a week.
Whoa. Combined. So again, what are we sitting at? We're over 10% on that one.
Yeah.
980 on a 480.
Mate, we're in the double digits.
Boy, double digits. Yeah, double didgeridoos.
Double didgeridoos.
Mate, that's awesome. That's a massive result. And obviously the other thing that I love about that, man, is like the first one, like the existing house, you did a bit of a spruce up, but the back one, obviously being brand new granny flats, you got full depreciation on it. So even though you're positive cash flow on the deal, which is obviously perfect, man, which is what we want, but you've got the depreciation on it, which allows us to write off a portion of that positive cash flow as well, man. So that's perfect, man. I absolutely love that stuff. So 480 all in, 980 a week rent.
Yeah.
So sitting about 10.5% yield. When did we buy that? We bought that at the end of, was it December 22, you know, early 23? When do you think that was roughly?
That was in end of 22, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, that was in end of 2022, because I did the build in 23.
Okay.
In like January.
Okay, perfect.
January, February, yeah.
Perfect. And that got us a double didgeridoos.
Mm.
I don't mind the double digis, bro.
Mate, I like the double
beautiful. So, mate, from there, you took that year off pretty much building that granny A because you needed the serviceability from that front. Man, talk me through kind of what happened or the time frames. Have you had any light bulb moments during this thing, realizing this or that or whatever? We're just like working through these deals, kind of keep pushing it through. Is there anything other than probably like your early pieces in your journey with your Kiyosaki and then, you know, realizing the different people that probably weren't the right people to work with and working with us? Is there anything through the actual purchasing phase or anything that you'd say were light bulb moments, you know, other than realizing obviously using the right team, getting the valves, all that sort of stuff? Anything else is sort of popping through from there?
Yeah, definitely. I think just like understanding the strategy that you kind of put in place,
yep,
when, you know, you're building out a portfolio.
Yep.
Like I didn't really sort of understand that or really sort of think about implementing something like that.
Yep.
And then, you know, obviously you talking to me about, you know, bread and butters, you know, you need those ones to get the equity uplift on them.
Yep.
And then, you know, you get your cash flow to service the loans. And yep, then you know, you sell off the bread and butters and keep the cash flows for, you know, your retirement.
You want a job? A strategist job or what?
Mate, is that an offer? Is that the contract there? Is
maybe,
it?
Maybe.
You've been making notes.
Yeah, making some notes.
Yeah. But
very long probation period.
How long?
Too long. Go on. Keep going.
So that was, for me, that was definitely a light bulb moment. But it also gave me confidence that you were, APS were trying to provide like the whole sort of package.
Yep.
And they were there to like really sort of walk you through the whole way, not just sort of buy your property and sort of leave you on your own.
Yep.
It was like a full-on bulletproof system that you've obviously implemented in your property portfolio that's tried, that's worked.
Yep.
And you're now passing that on to people who are like-minded that, you know, want to follow in your footsteps and build it out exactly like you've done.
Yep. Yeah, I love that, man. That's awesome.
Mm.
That's cool, man, because like a lot of people don't, that takes them a long time to understand that. A lot of the time people realize that once they've made some mistakes, you know, and obviously it's the worst time to realize it is when you've made mistakes or you've lost money or whatever as well. So, man, I think it's a really powerful thing that you've done for yourself there, understanding early that you need a team, you need to leverage that sort of thing. And then from a strategy perspective, follow the model of someone who's done what you want to do and then just keep following that iteration. So I love that, man. That's powerful. That's good shit. And if we were to move on from there and we look at, you know, properties moving forward from there as well, time frame wise of, you know, we finished the granny at the end of 23.
End of 23, yeah.
Yeah. Talk me through, man. What else has sort of happened from there?
So end of 23, build the granny. And then beginning of 24, recently purchased back in Queensland?
Yep.
So that one was a 4-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-garage.
Yep.
Big block again, 780 square metres.
Yeah, perfect.
So potential to put a granny on in the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's currently renting at 580 a week.
Okay, sweet. 450K renting for 580 a week.
Yeah.
That's a pretty strong return, man, on purchase for a bread and butter.
Yeah, with perfect. A manufactured cash flow deal to come.
Potential, yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay, sweet. Mm. You mean, sorry, on this deal or?
On this deal.
Yeah, on this deal. Of course.
Put the granny on it eventually.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, perfect, man. It's always good to kind of, again, like hybrid. Like you look at your second deal there, the first one you did in WA. It's obviously we bought it with the dual intention of it, but we didn't need to do it initially. So when we needed to do it, we picked between 2 and 3 as to which one we're going to do it on to maximize the site and to maximize what we were doing at the time, where was going to get the best rent bang for buck as well that was going to help you keep moving forward. But Matt, I love that you've got all your levers in your portfolio that you can pull to keep moving forward as well. It makes for a very... diverse portfolio, you know what I mean? Like it's something we can tangible that we can kind of manipulate and keep moving forward rather than just being, you know, pure bread and butters or pure cash flow that just like it's just too much one way or the other, man. I love the hybrid sort of mix because it's something that we can keep manipulating and moving forward as well. So I like that, man. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to throw in on this? The one you bought at 450 as well, like market value you're estimating now? Because we bought it, was that in January?
Yeah, it settled in January.
Settled in January, okay.
Yeah, so I think I looked at it the other day. I think it's like 515, 520.
Okay, sweet.
So
yeah, right.
Already got that sort of equity uplift already within, you know, a couple months. So.
Yeah, perfect, man. That's mad. So you probably, you would have bought that, bought it in December, settled January.
Mm.
And then, so we're probably 5 months on from actual contract, say 3-4 months on or whatever it is from purchase, and you're up probably 15% going on, maybe potentially going on 20% growth here since then.
That was actually a pretty stressful time, buying it, trying to settle in December, December.
Yeah,
so I'm just trying to get because I had to
especially in moving when a market starts jumping or when it moves and there's no stock and then people realize it. It's when you're trying to get extensions, man, it can be hard, yeah?
Yeah, because I think settlement was, I think it was a week into January or it was around New Year's Eve and it was just trying to get people signing off on things and, you know, the paperwork to the bank and running around. I was like, fuck, I this deal goes through. But no, I got it done. So, happy about that.
Oh, that's awesome, bro. That's awesome. I love it, mate. I love it. So, mate, you're 4 properties deep. What's the game plan from here? This is the current portfolio, yeah?
Yeah.
Everything in there. Man, what did everything cost in total to actually get in and purchase as you went through? Do you remember?
I've
got to work this out for you.
Oh, my total debt is 1.5.
Okay.
But the only money that I've, the only cash that I've put in that I've saved is 60K. So
really? This is the deposit on the first one. That's all you've put into this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And I've just been able to draw the equity out.
That's hectic, man. So what was the total debt?
1.5.
And then what do you think the portfolio value is worth overall right now?
I reckon it's sitting about 2.2.
Yeah, so just running through this and working through the numbers, you've got a 600, you've got a 550, takes a 1.15, plus the 800 takes a 1.95, and then 5 to 550 sort of val. So you're pretty much so much sitting at around about 2.5 mil with 1.5 mil debt, yeah?
Mm.
So you're pretty much sitting on $1 million net equity.
Yeah.
In 4 years, starting with 60 grand, and that's all you put in.
Mate.
Mate, that's pretty powerful, bro. That's pretty impressive, man.
Mm.
That's a massive result. How do you feel about that? Like, how does that make you feel, man? Working those numbers.
Mate, it's definitely like a good feeling because I know that I'm on a path to, financial freedom.
Yep.
And that was always my goal.
Yep.
What I wanted to achieve. And I wanted to achieve it by, 40. And then funnily enough, you want to retire people by 2030, so that that falls in line, with my age as well. So
yeah, man,
it definitely does feel good. And like every time I kind of tell, my story to people, they're always kind of surprised on how quickly I've been able to, build out this portfolio.
Yeah.
And they don't really believe it. And then I start sort of telling them about you and what you do, and they're interested and they try and jump on board. But I'm definitely happy with what I've done.
Yeah.
I've done it all on my own. Haven't been given any handouts.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of makes the best kind of story.
100%, man.
And you get sort of like a lot of gratitude and just respect for yourself as well. You got kind of like a purpose in life. You know what you're looking forward to
and what you're working towards.
And what you're working towards, yeah. Exactly right, yeah.
I think that's what's really powerful. I think it is, and you say like, oh, yeah, I feel like that, you know, I've done pretty well. But dude, $1 million net equity off 60 grand in 4 years, mate, that is massive. I don't know what the ROI on that thing is, but it's a lot. You know what I mean? Like that is a massive return year on year over a 4 year window. Man, I think you should be extremely proud of what you've created to date. You know, especially doing it on the side, just like side hustle, leveraging where you can. Man, you've also got a granny in there. Like almost all your deals, all your first three deals are all yielding 10% plus pretty much. Man, to build a portfolio like that is super, super impressive, man. So you should be, yeah, super pumped with what you've built to date, man. And like what you said before about, you know, the dates aligning very well with, mate, there's a reason for that as well, right? Because we're the same age. Yeah, we played together, right? So at 40, man, that's what I gave myself the goal of like, because people always say to me, how long do you want to do this thing for? And I'm like, I don't really know. I'm going to work my ass off until I'm 40. I love this thing. I've committed to retiring a certain amount of people in that time frame. And it's funny because 2030 is obviously, as you say there, yeah, when you're 40, it's also when I'm 40, and that's where that kind of comes together. And that's where, man, I don't know what I'll sort of do beyond this point, but this is the commitment that I've made to people and why, like, we want to build portfolios for people. I don't want a singular transaction client. I want to build someone's portfolio. I want to retire them. That to me will be my legacy, is the amount of people that I retire off the back of that. Not how much I make, how many people I can retire. And man, I love that falls like dead in line with, because obviously the same age. Falls dead in line with what you're trying to do as well, man. So, Matt, I'm excited to have you on the journey. You know, even with what we've created so far, man, I think there's so much more to come. And man, I think like just your commitment and even like this next phase of what we're about to go through, man, we can talk about this for a sec as well now, but like even the next phase of your mindset and the way it's transitioned since we, you know, were first sort of doing these deals, and then you kind of got a bit stuck, right? It was even after this last one, and you said to me like, man, what do I do here? And I said, well, how committed are you to actually moving forward? He goes, I'll do whatever you tell me to do to keep moving forward. Hence why you got a contract on this first property. It's a bread and butter. You know, you got a contract on this property that effectively will net you over 105, probably going on 110% capital growth in a 4 year window. And then what that's going to set you up to do, because you're doing this with my guidance and with the team that we've built as well, like you get to use the same team that I use in my own portfolio. And then effectively, man, I'll hand mold your strategy moving forward and handpick the properties going into that as well. So man, I'm very confident, dude. We've got 6 years to do this thing. You've created $1 million net equity in that time frame. You got some absolute bangers in there with massive yields on them. Some we've still got levers to pull on. So mate, I'm very excited, man. I think there's a lot still to come within your journey as well. And yeah, dude, I'm just excited to kind of keep punching out with you.
Mate, are you more excited for our 40th birthday or the building out the portfolio?
I don't know, mate. I want to see you get. What's your itinerary first?
My itinerary?
For the joint 40th. Wait, is it your budget 40th. Or my budget?
It's a 60-40 split.
60 your way? 60
your
you,
way, yeah.
But dude, you started with 60, so I think it makes sense. Okay. So yeah, 60-60. Yeah. 60-40, yeah, I think that makes sense. Maybe go 60-60 would make it massive. That doesn't really work, but
we'll go to the Goldie or something.
Okay.
Take a spin in the Ferrari.
We'll go for a burn later, all right?
Burn later, yeah.
Beautiful. Man, I've really enjoyed running through your story. Is there anything else you want to run through on your end? Anything else you want? Any notes you want to make, man? Any things you think, you know, you want to make mention of that you know, went through within the journey or anything you kind of want to pass on to the next gen coming through or anyone thinking about doing this?
Yeah, look, what I would advise people to do is if you want to really commit to investing and get into property, do it as soon as you can, because the sooner that you do it, the sooner that you can leave the game and, you know, get your financial freedom, because it's all about time, right?
Yeah.
And I would strongly suggest that if you don't, you know, work in the real estate industry, like go through a buyer's agent, because they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Obviously not all of them, but that would definitely be a major sort of recommendation, and build that team. You need a good team.
Team's everything, eh?
To deliver the results. And the quicker you deliver that results is, you know, the best thing, you know. So
yeah. Yeah. I love it, man. Dude, what's your I'm curious, like what's your I'm curious for the listeners to know, what is your goals for the next, say, 12 months and then, you know, and beyond that as well? I know obviously we've got the 2030 goal to retire by then, be on the stage with us up there. But man, like, so say in the next 12 months, obviously we're going through a sell down, we're moving through that process. What's your goal for the next 12 months that you want to hit in the portfolio?
Look, I'd love to, so after the sale, I'd love to buy two more properties in the 12 months.
Yep.
And then possibly look at doing the granny flats.
Yep.
You know, further down that track.
Yeah, pull the levers.
I just want to keep like building out this portfolio, you know, as big as I can.
Yep.
Strategically, yep, of course, and just sort of like, you know, build it, you know, in the best way moving forward. So, you know, by 40, I can, you know, be financially free and have that passive income to, you know, support myself, have a good life. And
do you mind if I ask what, or do you mind sharing with the listeners what that passive income target is that you're chasing as well within your own portfolio?
Look, for me at the moment, it would be 250.
Yep.
Okay. But I think, like, once I get there, I'll probably get higher.
Yeah.
And that's always the case. That's always sort of the case. So
yeah.
Look, I'll say 250 for now. Okay. But, you know, if you do the potty in another couple of years, it'll probably, you know, be north of that.
Let's see. Okay, beautiful, man. Nah, sounds good. Mate, my biggest takeaway from this thing is you realizing very early that you needed a mentor. You know, and you had some light bulb moments, man. You made some decisions. You started looking into it. You realized you were probably going to make a mistake if you went out and tried to do this thing yourself. And then realizing, you know, that you needed someone to lean on from this thing, even from I'm probably gathering it's either from the potties, man, or I think it's probably even before this because, you know, you have been talking to me about this for a while. I don't know if maybe it was Kiyosaki, you know, back in the day as well, but understanding that you needed to build a team as well, you know, around you to help you succeed. Man, there's like, Everyone tries to be like a one man, or like a fucking, you know, what is it, one man island or whatever it is, and you're trying to, you can't go to the top as a one man island. Like, you need a great team around you.
Yeah.
Like, I even look at the different things I've done in life where I've actually utilized a coach, or a mentor, and the different levels you can move at by engaging with someone like that or working with someone like that, as opposed to having a crack and trying to do it yourself. I even look at my own portfolio, you know, and compare it to people like yourself and what you've done in 4 years compared to what I did in 4 years, or what I did in 7 years is probably similar to what you did in 4 years, you know, and it's a funny thing, man. And you like probably weren't even moving at the proper speed of light. Like, a few things got slowed down during that process as well. So it's one of those things, man, like, and I'm considered one of the best investors in Australia. You know what I mean? And so like, when you look at that and the speed, the trajectory and the speed that you're moving at now, and man, you're not the only client. Like, there's a massive amount of clients that are moving at this sort of speed and trajectory as well. And man, I think what's like super powerful about it is that getting people on this journey and on the correct tracks that are going to help them get to that point where the age that I was, or I was 10 years into my portfolio, or 9 or 10 years, whatever it was, into my portfolio when I won Investor of the Year, almost all the clients, especially that stick with us and keep investing with us, are going to have portfolios better than the portfolio I had when I won Investor of the Year. Like, they quite seriously are. In a 9-10 year window, most of them are going to be retired. They're going to have replaced 150, 200. I never hit that in that time frame, you know? So, man, I think, I've never really reflected on that until just now when I was talking about it. I've never thought about it before, the fact that, you know, realistically that was what I was sitting on. When I won Investor of the Year, man, I was sitting on 66, this is just to be transparent, 66,000 a year per annum net passive. Dude, you'll be beyond that, you know, in that same time frame. So yeah, reflecting on that and seeing what's possible with that and being able to help people outperform that, which is seen as, you know, kind of near the top, man, that's you know, it's very humbling to be able to help people like yourself with that and everyone out there as well. So I think that's the thing, man. If people work with the correct person that can help them achieve that, they have achieved that, and then streamline the journey for them, put them in the right markets, buy the right properties at the right price, help them with the right strategies, help them with the strategy overall. Man, I think that's where it's like it's a game changer, you know? And like, we look at the value that you've created in your own portfolio, the net position you're in, both from an equity and a cash flow perspective. Mate, there's not too much to turn the nose up at here, man. Like, it's a pretty fucking impressive result. So, mate, I just want to say well done, and I've taken a lot of takeaways from this thing, man. Like, it's you know, a lot of inspiring sort of stuff from it as well. It's been cool, man. It's been cool.
Yeah, no, I've you know, really enjoyed to you know, sit here and, you know, have this conversation with you, but
share the journey,
mate. But yeah, you know, like, I've always sort of looked up to you and, you know, what you've achieved, and mate, I'm just super excited to see where the next sort of like 5 years pans out, and just really like determined to get there and you know, enjoy the spoils at the end of the rainbow.
I love it, mate. At the end of the rainbow.
Yeah.
So not the spoils of war, the spoils of rainbows.
Spoils of rainbows.
I love it. Is that we'll put a big sign at the back of the stage on 2030. It'll be a big rainbow, right? All right, what do you reckon?
Yeah, perfect.
Hold me to that. There'll be one that's that, and then there's one that's a war zone. We'll put Jimmy in the war zone by himself. What do you reckon?
Yeah, we'll have Jimmy there, and we'll have a little leprechaun. Maybe he can be in a leprechaun outfit.
And we all have BB guns, we're all shooting him.
Yeah, just shooting him. You're like, poor Jimmy. Wolf of Wall Street.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, poor Jimmy. Poor Jimmy. Mate, I appreciate you jumping on. I appreciate you being raw, real, and sharing your story with me. Man, it's something we always finish with. It's something that the listeners love. We get to learn a little bit about you. There's a bit of humor in here. And yeah, man, hopefully you can throw a bit of humor back in our way as well. But mate, are you happy and ready to jump straight into the rapid fire session?
Let's do it.
Let's do it, man. All right, buddy, let's go. Mate, the biggest goal you're chasing?
Financial freedom.
250K a year.
250K a year, yeah.
Beautiful. Dream primary residence. What is it, where is it, and how much?
It'd be in eastern suburbs, maybe Bronte. $10 million overlooking the beach.
10 mil?
Yeah.
Jesus. Dream holiday location?
Well, I'm actually going to Argentina this year, so I'm going to put Argentina down.
Ooh, I know why you're going there. Yes, okay, mate. Okay, Argentina. All right. Dream job?
All right. Soccer player. Yeah.
You're going to go back?
Nah.
Pull the boots on?
ACL's done.
Yeah. We'll strap it up, mate. We'll be right. Yeah. Just need a few more steaks. Mate, favourite food?
Brazilian barbecue. Sure.
Oi! Yeah. You're going to Argentina, but you love the Brazilian barbecue. You can cross the border, grab a couple of barbies?
Mate, they love the meat as well.
So. I've heard the Argentinians have better steaks, but we'll move on, mate. You can report back to me.
You'll report back.
All right. Mate, favourite alcoholic beverage?
Bolter, XBA.
Bolter?
Yeah.
Mate, I love it. True or false? You were once in line to replace Ronaldo at Manchester United.
True.
True or false? You might be starring alongside APS's very own Jakey McGregor in the next season of Marry at First Sight.
That is true.
Mate, it's all coming out today. Now, this one's a bit brutal, mate, so apologies for here. But, I feel bad saying this one. But I know, so I've got to say it. Your missus married another bloke while you were together.
Mate, she did. What a story. I met this girl in...
I feel like a dog crab brought this up, but yeah, like it's juicy, bro. It's so juicy. I'm sorry, man. Yeah,
now it's out there. It's out there.
Go on, give us a 60-second recap of how that played out. I don't mean to laugh, man. It's a nervous giggle.
Oh, look, I can laugh about it now. But okay. Basically met this girl in Byron Bay a couple of years ago. Ended up dating her for a few years.
Yeah.
And went on Instagram one day,
yeah,
and I was sort of like looking through one of her friends' tagged posts,
yeah,
and I found a photo of her next to her husband in like their wedding shoot photos, and I was like, what the fuck? And this was like, you know, halfway through our, you know, relationship,
yeah, yeah,
you know, so.
So the wedding was halfway through the relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus,
yeah,
Christ.
Yeah.
Man.
So I found out eventually that, yeah, when I met her, she was actually engaged. Got married while I was with her, and then she was having an affair for, you know, God knows. So, mate, that was...
you were the affair.
I was the affair.
Boy toy.
Sorry.
You boy toy.
I didn't know. You know what? Out of respect to the husband, I did call him up.
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
I told him. Yeah. So, he had no idea as well.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. And she had, like, heaps of other sort of crazy stories that I probably won't get into, but...
No, let's get into them. Nah, Jake.
Yeah, mate, that was it. So,
do you want us to cut this or are you actually all right to keep it in?
Whatever. It is what it is. So.
Mate, I only bring it up because I checked with you first that you're right to do it, but I feel so brutal bringing it up and actually talking about it now. Because when you told me this, and I wouldn't have done it if it was raw, but when you first told me this, I was like, holy fuck, that is one of the craziest stories I've ever heard.
Yeah, and well, you heard the full-on hectic story.
Yeah,
I told you when it was pretty raw. So, like, now I can kind of joke about it. I've moved on.
Yeah.
I know that wasn't the right girl for me, and it just put me in a different, you know, it was the path that I was on, and, you know, I'm past that now. I'm good, and it just allowed me to like really focus on myself,
yeah,
and just like reevaluate, you know, what I want to do in life and just focus solely on that.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
And then I'll meet someone eventually, but for now that's what I'm 100% focused to do. So
Argentina. Go for the stakes, come back with a 10 out of 10.
We'll see, mate.
We'll see. Mate, you're very close to the border of the old Victoria's Secret. It's a hunting ground. So Man United go hunting in the London, you know, they go to London, they go Manchester. You know, they're trying to find all the, they got the scouting crew, mate. You're the scout for Argentina, for the talent.
The Australian property Argentinian scout, yeah. Sign me up.
Mate, there's a new arm of the business coming in. It's coming in hot, guys. Get your requests in. Get on the wait list for Big Leon Cusack to go on a hunchy 10 out of 10 in Brazil or Argentina to be confirmed on release date. So, mate, Thank you once again for jumping in and joining us. I don't know how the hell we got there.
Yeah.
But mate, we always seem to get to places like that. Mate, I really enjoy you jumping on. Congratulations, man, on hitting 1 mil net equity. It's insane, man. And I think by the end of this year, you're probably going to be up another 250 with the properties, you know, where they're located and what you're doing. Man, I'm very excited to see where this portfolio, where this journey goes. Mate, I'd love for you to come back in 12, 18 months, like I do, or where are you now? You know, after you've sold this first deal, man, and rolling into some more, I'm really excited to see where the journey takes you, man.
100%, man. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it, bro. Like as I said, can't wait for like the next chapters to see what doors they open. Yep. and you know where this is going to pan out. So, mate, yeah, super excited, super pumped, and love working with you guys. And let's roll.
The feeling's mutual, brother. The feeling's mutual. Mate, thank you once again for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure having you in the studio. Listeners, I hope you took some great value and some laughs out of that episode. I know I laughed a little bit more than I normally do on an investor story, mate. So I appreciate the humor as well. Listeners, yeah, I hope you took some great value. If you think anyone else might take some great value, make sure you send this episode on to them. We are wanting to continually be building a community of people that think, talk, and act the way that we do around property investing. And if you want to get on the gravy train that is Australian Property Scout, make sure you jump over and you check us out at all the socials at Australian Property Scout and at www.australianpropertyscout.com.au. If you haven't left us a 5-star review yet, I'm sure this episode will put you over the line, especially with that final story. I haven't left us a 5-star review yet, but that is going to put me over the line, mate. I am going to leave one just for you, Leon.
Mate, love it. Love it.
Everyone, thank you for tuning in. Cusack, thanks for jumping back on, buddy. And once again, guys, I'll see you all next week.